Now we've come down to Tay Davenant in County Monaghan for another episode of Heritage at the Heart of County Monaghan. I'm meeting two people here who are going to bring me to an ancient thoroughfare, an ancient trackway as it might be. So introduce yourself and where you're from.
I'm Pat McKenna.
From around here?
Darnasal. Darnasal is a town land. But an uncle about 50 years ago told me about this old track that went through a couple of these town lands, Feba and Darnasal. So we're going to go through it now. We're going to just show where the ancient track.
We're going to explore it. And then we're also joined by
Seamus Trainer from Clintibret.
And your interest in this is, well, history and heritage, really, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. And I knew there was an old road from Clonus to Clogher, and I asked around, and you can follow some of it, but Pat knows a bit that's pretty much disappeared. So I was introduced to Pat.
Well, Pat's going to show us this map now, because we're close to Clonagilty, old school, and there's a large map here of, what is it, Tay Davenant Estate. It's like, this is taller than I am.
Rose Estate.
Yeah.
It's the 22 town lands that James Rose bought in for 20,000. He paid 20,000. They were known as the church lands. You paid your dues to the church.
Right. And well, I'm well used to looking at maps. This is one of the older maps here. It's beautifully adorned on this large sheet. We can see on it the Mullagh Moor Loch and Mullagh Moor North and Derry, Durrahy. And
they're all belonging to the Rose Estate. Here's Patsy here.
Well, Patsy's joining us as well. Patsy, this is we're in your yard now, but you're giving us the use of your yard. So let's say, what can we see here, or where can we see on this map where the trackway went from?
Where the map started from was Patsy done research on Margaret Skinner there back in 2014.
Yes.
So Theo McMahon told Patsy about this map. Go on ahead, Patsy.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it initially started with, I was doing research on the Rose estate of Mullagh Moor North, because Gertrude Rose was the lady responsible for building Corneglacha School and our own home, which is now the teacher's residence.
Which is a beautiful stone building, and so the school is as well.
Right.
Beautiful building.
My grandfather, God rest him, he bought that in around year 1917. And we've always had a very close affinity with the whole history of the Miss Rose, therefore, and the estate. And then I was trying everywhere I could to see if I could get an image of the big house of Mullagh Moor itself. But sadly, it couldn't be got. But in conversation with Theo McMahon, Theo told me that there was a map, a very old map, of the Rose Estate in the National Library in Dublin. He said, you may be able to see it and maybe not, but it's worth a try.
And is this a copy of that map?
That's a copy of that map.
Because on it, and you're pointing over there to a Pat, the whereabouts of the house and
that's
the estate.
That's the house was born. It was born in 1923.
Back 23 or 25. And where are we here right now, this moment?
Oh,
there's the National School, and there's the house that we're at right now. And so where is the trackway? Where does that exist on this map?
When Patsy got this map then done, just finish the story there, Patsy.
I purchased it from the National Library. I was able to do that. You can see where it was folded in 8 pieces, and it was so precious that they wouldn't even let you touch it with your hands.
But anyway, so this is a direct copy in colour. Full car,
I got it, brought it to a local graphics firm, and they did the rest for me. And it's very, very historical. It proved awful interesting for people like Pat here and the older generation who could relate to law. And one of the features of it, how straight the boundary ditches were, you know.
Straight lines between the fields.
Straight lines.
The first thing I looked at was Darnasal and Feba. And I wanted to see where I was told about this. I mean, the old ancient trackway, there was two. The fields was a double ditch through the back of Feba, and there's it marked there on there's it marked clearly there on the, you know, the fields come down to a ditch,
right,
and the fields come up to a ditch, but the old pathway was still.
What was between it was the old pathway.
The old pathway.
So had it hedged? It had ditches both sides.
It was ditches both sides, but unfortunately, all that has been bulldozed now. Most of it's bulldozed away, but it's in, like, it's put into fields. But there is bits of it.
And it sort of fades out there, doesn't it?
You're
trying to patch together where it went.
Down here. We'll go out now to this crossroads. This is where the thing starts. Trackway. So
there's still Some reminiscence of it on the map.
Yeah,
a little bit of it appears on the map.
But the ancient road, you see, that come on through, down onto the main, that's the Nuckatallan, Brennan's Cross, that's the Brennan's Cross roads. So Drumminyan, they went through Drumminyan, the townland of Drumminyan, over to the river. There was a footbridge on the river that took you across into Arakelchin. But you see, that's marked as a right-of-way again. So the road, when they done the town pass, they used the old pathway.
Right.
Old pathway.
So the more modern road was built on the old
pathway. The old pathway. You're going back over 1,000 years there.
And we're going to go and look at some of it.
We're going back to the Durnacell.
Back to the start, over
we'll
here.
We'll go back to the bit through Durnacell that links from Scotstown up to the up towards the Tyrone border, where and that bit in between, it disappeared. But Pat has recollections of where it is, so that's what we're going to see. And there is physical evidence of it, where we're going.
Well, why not? Let's go there, though. Let's go. Now we're walking along this
up
road
towards Durnacell, the big crossroads, and then Durnacell.
Right. And what are you saying? That this was
this road was raised up out of the bog. The water level is down under.
Yeah.
So the when road I looked, level was way down
oh,
there.
Oh, so we're significantly higher this, here.
Yeah.
By this, about this 6 foot or so.
James Rose would have made this road in about 1820s or 1800s.
So I'm just imagining the amount of work that would have went in to raise this road out of the bog.
That's right. That's yeah.
All manpower.
All manpower.
And horses and carts and stones and quarrying.
That's right.
A lot of work. So then from here, where's the trackway? Where is it?
Well, we'll show you now the trackway.
It's off. It's not on this road. It's
no,
off
it's
this
not.
Road.
It's off this road.
In a slightly different direction.
So the path from Clogher down to Clonus, there's three ways of going it. You can, even in modern times, you can go down to Five Mile Town and across the mountains down there. You can cut. There is a way of walking across straight, almost through Sleeve Bay Mountain. But the actual easiest way is come this way, because if you go those other ways, you're up and down over Drumlins, and so there's a lot more going downhill, there's a lot more going uphills, and so even it takes you a lot longer to go that way, even though they're shorter routes.
Because today we're familiar with the process of cut and fill. You don't go over, up and down a hill, you go around it or you go through it, mostly.
Yeah.
But in this ancient trackway, they would have been going up and down, up and down.
Yeah, and you would have wanted to avoid that, because if you're carrying stuff, that's hard work going up and down. So
this little trackway, it was the most level pathway they could get.
Right.
On the drag.
So they sought the best route for, you know, the movement of goods and the movement of people and animals.
Animals, probably horseback. They were riding horseback. But where you're walking now, was all raised up. There's no way in here. That is all slow.
Now, we've come off the main road, but we're on a laneway. We're still not on the trackway. It's down here somewhere. We're getting close by.
Getting close to it. But where we are walking now, that is all flooded too.
Yes.
We're talking about back 1,000 years ago. So
these boglands have been around a long time, but man discovered ways to get through it with raised roadways.
And this particular piece that comes through is an esker. If you see the hazel trees that are running along there, so they're running both sides of this esker. I don't know if you remember your geography. An esker is a row of stones built up, something like a railway embankment. That was created by the ice age and a river running underneath the glacier.
Okay, yes. A natural occurrence. Right, so which would have occurred along here.
Yeah.
And is that what they would have used as a bed for the road?
Well, they walked along it. They didn't tarmac it, they didn't treat it, but it was just the easiest way of getting across the whole boggy land from from up near the Tyrone border down to Scotstown. This, okay. You can see here a brilliant picture of it from there along there, and those are all hazel, but when we wander over you'll see it has the real feel of a railway embankment.
Right.
And you're thinking, what railway is there up here?
Yes. No, it's never a railway. Now, Pat, you've got the map, right? Where are we here on this map?
We are standing at that point there. That's yes. That lane up there.
Turn in the road, yes.
So the old road come down here.
Yeah.
From the far Nuggetallan Killaloch.
Right.
It come down through Clanticaster and across the road.
Right, so is that the trackway now?
That's the old trackway.
This is it, right.
Aye, but
and now it looks like a farm lane, isn't it? It probably is used as a farm lane.
It was made a farm lane in years afterwards.
Yes.
But
yes.
We are still going back. If you look this road and that road, that is all trees and bushes and scrub.
Yes.
So they had to batter a way through.
Yes.
Slash a pathway, like slashing through the Amazon forest.
Yes.
That time.
Because it would have been so overgrown.
I don't know.
And highly forested.
Oh, highly. See, down the cell is the Sally Wood. Right. That's down the cell.
There were the Sally rods growing up from the wet ground.
It was Sally trees and Sally bushes.
You couldn't get through it.
Couldn't get through it.
And this trackway was the way in.
Aye.
So these other more modern roads probably weren't even there.
They weren't even there.
They weren't there. They're on the map that you have, but that map's only 150 years old, right?
It's from the Cromelian plantation that the people come out here.
Right.
That they had to make fields and make land.
Right.
Or put out all our good land for there.
But is this road here? Oh.
Ah, right. So to me, we're just going into the field, but there's more. There's more than meets the eye. Through the rushy glen.
The playground, they had to pick the playground. If you were on a horse, you had to be on the high ground, the playground you could forget. So.
Now, thankfully, we had the wherewithal to put on our Wellingtons and our boots.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Now, this is... Where we are standing there, so you come through, there was no hedges or no nothing, so this is... The pathway was on top of this bit of hay ground here.
Right, okay. Yes. So you know exactly where it was, do you, Pat? Yeah. It's not that clear to me, to be honest.
When we get a bit further, it is, and you start to realise that we're on a bit of a raised ground here, and the rushes are down.
That would have been below there to make the lanes.
Right.
That was all level.
Right.
Okay, there was no quarrying done that.
But a quarrying would have taken a hole out of it.
Yeah, it took a hole out of it.
So this is also what you could call reading the land and reading the maps. And looking at the clues of what's there now versus what was once there. This is like the bit you're telling me about, like a railway embankment.
Yes, and it gets even more so up here. And what's funny is that talking about reading the maps is it's not marked on the OS maps, even though it's very distinct, presumably because they didn't survey it down to this level.
Right, that's quite interesting. So it didn't appear on the maps, but yet it exists... As an earthen mound, let's
yes,
say.
Yes, that's right. As a long earthen mound. Well, it's earthen here. When you get in closer, you'll realise it's actually made full of stones and quite large round stones, which are not rare but unusual in Monaghan because the stones that we get, you get round stones where water has knocked them all together and smoothed them round.
That's usually why they're round, is the washings of the waters.
And that doesn't... And then if we can find some round here...
Look across there now, we'll see this lane of old track.
Do you know what? It's so clear now. Because we've come into this, let's call it a wooded area, but throughout all of that, we're on the top of an embankment, surrounded on both sides. The path is clear.
Past layer, but you're about 20 foot, no, well, say 12 foot up from where the water level would have been that time.
Right.
See, you were talking about, there was no drains made, no fields, everything was flooded. And
So to be honest, it was pretty easy to find if you're coming on the trackway.
Yeah.
All you could see is water and maybe bushes growing up through it.
But you'd have this one path. Yeah,
it
would have took weeks to find this pathway, because they could go one direction and meet something, they have to go back and try again.
Right.
No.
Yes.
It'd be like...
There'd be other bits of pathways going nowhere.
It'd be trying to make a way through a jungle. You know. Yeah. You're talking about at least... 1,000 years or more.
So the path we're walking now, many people over the years, going back over 1,000 and more years,
and more,
would have walked this path. It would have been their route to take them to the next town, or to the market, or to their neighbours.
It'd be the Morris place. It was more.
The earliest, Clocha to Clonus, the only people that would do this
would be
people on pilgrimages or the monks.
Because Clocha was a big religious establishment.
Yeah.
Clonus was a very powerful monastery as well. And so this connection was linking the two of them.
To the south of Slea Bay.
Right.
To the southern. They had other links. To the north end of Slea Bay, as Seamus says, to come out at Feynman Town End, across.
But it's much harder work walking that way, you know. Right. You could, if you were fit, you could do Clocha to Clonus in a day, coming this way. I reckon you'd have to do 2 days the other way, and you certainly couldn't do the other ways in winter.
Right.
Out over the hill.
So you have to understand it in the context of its time. You're going back to the monasteries, you're going back to the importance of religion and the primary abbess or the abbot over in Clonus, and the link between the two. That was the most important route, the most important thing you could be putting a road between these
and
two.
And it would
places.
Have been the link St. Dimna would have been using to...
St. Dimna, so what's the St. Dimna connection?
Well,
then?
See, Kildavenant, that road come out through Clanticaster. So if you see the map, the townland maps, Clanticaster and Kildavenant, there was two townlands beside other. So St. Dimna, you know where St. Dimna's Well, where they talk about St. Dimna's Well. Like, she would have come this road to Clonus. She was a religious woman. She was a next thing to a bishop that time.
Mm.
But she would have been using, she'd be coming this road and Tidavenant. She founded the church in Tidavenant.
Yes.
As well.
Which is just very close to here. So this would have been... Her footsteps would have followed this road
we're on right
now.
That's right. Her footsteps are on this road.
Wow.
When she went to Belgium, this is the road she would have went.
Wow.
Because you went towards Lavey, and then Westport, that was a shipment port that time. They got their boats and that in Westport.
And
went off to Belgium.
Do you know, it's hidden here, isn't it? Probably not many people even know about
it. Nobody knows about it.
Yeah.
If you look that way, Noel, you see, I mean, it looks like a track that maybe cows have walked up and down. No cows have walked up and down here. It's closed in almost completely over, and on either side, all of those trees, those big trees, are hazel, and they've been coppiced. And the horticultural guys, and they've been coppiced right down the embankment on both sides. There's an awful lot of them. The horticultural Monaghan horticultural expert reckons that those were coppiced probably a couple of hundred years ago. So they were effectively farming hazel for the rods and the sallies. For what would they use hazel for, Pat?
Well, thatching houses and using the fine branches over, and maybe basket, making the frames for baskets or creels.
At that time, then they started to use it for a different purpose, because it's raised up from the bog. They were like, maybe we grow the hazel here.
No, they've probably been used like that for as long as human beings have been around here. But you notice how the hazel has pretty much dominates. There's not a lot of undergrowth. We've got a few holly come in, but the rest of it up there, it does look like it's been farmed, and you cut the hazel down, you know, every 4 or 5 years, and you can use it.
It's extraordinary, and yet you can't see any of this from outside.
It's quite magical, really.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, people talk about dark hedges and all of these type of wonderful places to go to see. This is one that's hidden here, but it's been hidden for almost centuries.
Yeah. There's another way thing, Noel. The ground originally, the clay would have been maybe that height.
Yeah.
So it would have been worn down with walking the same as Croke Patrick. No way the stones... Croke Patrick, when you climb Croke Patrick, all these stones,
it wears it down.
Wears it down. So you've wore it down to stones there too. That was,
I can see those rounded stones just sticking out of the ground.
That's worn down over for hundreds of years. You know, for
you can see that because the edges are higher, aren't they?
Yeah.
So in the middle, it's like you see a stone steps that have been worn for hundreds of years.
Same
They're
idea.
Worn down in the middle.
Same idea.
Let's see. We can continue on another bit. You have to pick our steps.
Yeah.
Well, it opens up a little bit more again here.
A wee bit more. We're still keeping up off the flooded areas, you see. I'm keeping up on the dry ground.
Yeah, it's just with the branches have grown in. Right. So we come to another part here, do we?
Now the end of this bit. And we'll go through to the path we walked up first.
Okay, yes.
You have to still imagine 1,000 years ago, trees and scrub and bushes. And this was only the little pathway that was through everything to get from point A to point B.
Because these wouldn't have been farmed fields and pastures.
No.
All forestry.
It was all forestry, wild. All scrub, all wild at that time.
Right.
So the pathway then went straight across, straight through there.
Yeah.
So we'll see it when we go down to the road.
Right, so we're going to cross over. Picking our way through a gap.
See, that is all low ground. That is all flooded.
Yes. So we're back now on the path we started, aren't we?
Yeah.
Except this, we come down using the ancient trackway itself.
That's right.
And then we can pick it up somewhere else down here.
Picking it up down here now at the cross. So the old pathway was in across the hedge there, and that high ground, it's all planted now too. But they come out here in the corner.
Right, so these now are more, let's call them recent roads, but you're still going back to the 1800s.
Yeah. Now this wee piece of a road here was a bit of solid ground.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine we're talking about coming through the swampy.
Yeah.
That was flooded. That was flooded there. They couldn't use that, so they come out there, straight across this wee bit of high ground, and into.
Oh, I can see it.
This area.
I can see it again.
Yeah.
Taking off there like a mound, as you described it. It's a good, very good way of thinking of it, like a railway embankment.
Yeah.
You're thinking, where was the railway around here? It's a much more ancient than that. There was no trains thought of at that time.
No.
That's wonderful. So, we can go in here.
We'll go in here now. Power switched off.
Thank goodness for that.
So then again, to the right hand side, that was all low lying ground, flooded ground. Again.
All down. It still is a bit rushy. You can tell that it's wet ground. We get in again on the trackway somewhere over here. Again, thank goodness for the wellies. Right, so to get on the trackway, you've got to climb up this embankment again.
Now, what they had to do, they went round this carrick. This is in Dernasel. This is our carrick here. So they went round. They had to go round the edge of the carrick. To keep themselves dry again, good solid footing. So we'll just follow it dead round now.
Yes. And it's funny, the modern day road isn't too far away from where the old ancient road was.
Oh, well, It tells him
it veers off.
This is going east west, you think.
Ah yes.
Peace down through the years has a kind of, and cattle has a kind of sort of wore down, but just see where the bank is there?
Yes.
What they had to do, what they done was someone like picks and that, and picked that there and they pulled it.
Right. So the bit we're on, so the sort of, again, it's a wee bit of cut and fill. They knocked that bank down, they flattened it out. So the bit we're on now is the trackway, is it?
That's the trackway.
What about up there? It's just the top of the embankment.
Top of the...
Right.
Top of the carry.
Right.
You can see over here.
Yeah, because, I mean, some of it's overgrown now, so we've got to pick our way.
These over through the years is...
Yeah, they've come up.
Come up through...
But this bit you can see more clearly.
Yeah, this is... We're walking on the entrance over here now.
Yes.
The bank on the left-hand side.
The bank on the higher side, and then the drop is on the right-hand side. So I can imagine what this would be like of an autumn's day, going back 1,000 years, because we're here on a dry autumn day now. And it wouldn't have been too dissimilar going back.
No, that's
the
right.
Landscape might have looked different.
The only thing at all was no fields, no grass to be seen, as all trees and scrub and bushes.
But somebody coming along here, they'd have a pleasant amble along this road.
Yeah. But mainly, it'd be all horseback, I'd say they were.
Yes. And I can see some of those big round stones again.
Yeah. Just littered with them in a way that you'd expect to see on in a river or a stream, but not halfway up.
Exactly, yes. They're very unusual to see such roundy stones in a location like this, with no water course nearby at all.
You see the idea of it? They were about 4 or 5 foot up above where the swampy ground was. They were on solid ground and it level. They were still
traveling under the level. Now it's not too level today, but it's been just worn away by time and roots and all sorts of things.
Have we come to the oak yet, Pat? Hey. Have we come to the oak?
Not yet. Okay.
It would be easy to get a bit of holly in the face, wouldn't it?
See the idea of the bank there? See the bank? The bank's all on your left-hand side here.
Yes.
That's oak there. That's an oak tree growing in the centre of it. Centre of the pasture.
Ah, yes.
So what's surprising about the oak is that they're actually... I mean, there are more in North Monaghan than anywhere else, but they're very rare out in the field. So you've got one oak there, there's another big one just above us, there's quite a few, but in Monaghan these would be part of a forest that pretty much cover the whole of the slopes of Sleabhaig and over towards Clogha. The number of townlands that are called Derry is phenomenal,
which is after
here.
The oak,
and that's after the oak. Yeah,
oak. Yes, an old oak tree.
Oh, there. Beautiful old oak tree.
That'd be one of the original, well, it'd be seeded from the original oak forest.
Yes. Yeah. What a beautiful old tree. It's up higher on the bank there, sheltering right over where we're standing.
Somebody was saying that would take in an awful carbon.
Yes. Of course, yeah. Carbon, zinc, and releasing oxygen.
Yeah, that's right.
And that one's, what, probably... And the size of the base, probably 200-300 years old, maybe 3 actually. So I suppose in the old forest that would be considered quite small, but it's a beautiful looking tree.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah. It's well hidden in here and it's safe. Nobody's going to get at it here.
Nope.
Now, what I do like about this is... Well, it is kind of well covered now. Over the years, it's probably got a bit more cover than it originally had. But it's just quite a nice walk, yeah, because you're feeling you're walking through history, aren't
right.
you?
So we are, yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Like St. Nimna would have walked here.
Yeah. It's quite amazing, really, to think of that. And the fact that this part of it was on the sort of halfway on the incline, it meant it wasn't bulldozed away, because what's the point? You know what I mean?
That's right.
You weren't going to clear it into a field.
If they had a camp on top of the hill, then it was very steep for horses to come back down.
Right, yes. So you're halfway in. Yes, it got very steep up there. So you're down here at a reasonable level. You're above the swamps and all of that. And you weren't too high for the horses to keep it level.
Keep it level.
Yeah, that's nice. Yes.
That's the idea.
Right, we've come back into a field now, haven't we?
But you see there again, flooded. That hollow was flooded land.
Yeah.
Flooded over there.
Yeah.
So they were keeping on the...
Oh, the slightly hedges. Slightly raised bit here.
Raised.
So that still would have been the original bit here.
Right, so it'd be on it, and it went down through the corner into Fiba.
Right. And to be honest, when you look at that... you'd barely notice the rise in that, but actually that's quite a significant bit higher than where the lying water
right,
would be over
right.
there.
Yes. Just they kept up out of the wet, kept themselves up on dry ground, on level ground all the time.
Yes.
So you see where the white line is there?
Yes.
That would have been the original level of the drain.
Right.
That's the border between Fiba and Dernasel.
So what is the white line? Is it stones I'm looking at there? Rocks?
That... When the Blackwater River scheme was done, they lowered that all down. They lowered the level, the original level of the drain was up where the white line is.
Ah, right. So some work was done here.
A horse, if you were on horseback, you might have happened across the drain.
Yes, which you can't do now because it was lowered.
It's
right.
Lowered. Yeah. It's lowered and widened.
What we've done is we found our way into the trackway. We came down and entered back onto the road. We came across where the modern, more I call it modern road, but there's still old roads, maybe over 150 years old or thereabouts. And we came on through that beautiful piece there, which was both parts that we saw were beautiful. Such a lovely walk that you could do, but just to be stepping in the footsteps of history, the important people that used this route, maybe the ordinary people that used this route, they knew that they had a safe passage to get from A to B, and we've come to here. And beyond that, I know you've told me, Pat, it goes on and on, past the Mass Rock, and on it goes.
And on through Drumminyan, Mount Moshoni on the map, where it went on through the back of Fiba, and come out then across into Drumminyan, and across out at Carahor, Scotchtown. Carahor, the Macquarie's Forge.
So you can still pick up lots of bits and pieces of it that still exist that haven't been interfered. Yeah. And if you've got the eye for it, you can tell where it is and you can walk it. But it's just extraordinary, really, to walk along it. It's kind of, if I were driving around here, I'd never have any idea that such
a
thing existed.
You wouldn't have a clue.
You wouldn't have.
You
but it's beautifully... still there.
Yeah. And it's lovely that Pat knew that it was there and is happy to share it with people, because it would have just disappeared. As I said, it's not on any map. But it is in the folk stories that people have passed down.
And for you, Pat, were you always aware, or did you say, I need to find out more about this?
Jimmy McKenna, an uncle, told me I used to Killian down on me, was my stepfather, but with Killian, and he'd be talking about history and old, so he mentioned this old ancient road. This is about 60 years ago.
Yes.
But then when I saw this map from Patsy, after looking at Patsy's, I seen the right away through Fiba Always knew this double ditch all right, but I never knew the significance of it.
Yes.
You were able to piece it together more from the story that was told to you and would have been told to him. But then you were able to, using the map, which was great that that map came to light, because there's some great information on maps, but they're stored away in various vaults and all of this. When the map came to your attention, you were like, I can find this road. Yeah. I can follow this route.
Follow the route.
And then the story, the whole history of it just sort of comes alive.
That's right.
So I think it's a beautiful, magical place. I don't know if maybe someday people will be able to come along and visit it or do something. Maybe there's an idea there. But certainly, it still exists. It's a bit of hidden history. And it's a very ancient history, very mystical, maybe even mythical.
Yep.
But I must say I've really enjoyed our walk along it today.
Thanks, Noah.
Thanks, Noah. Thank you, Pat.